This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Well, the California Senate has now passed AB 569. It's another bill against religious freedom in the Golden State. And as my next guest says, it's another bill against religious freedom by California's Democrats, specifically prohibiting employers from taking any adverse action against an employee's reproductive health care decisions. We're going to talk more about it now with Randy Thomason, veteran pro-family leader and president of SaveCalifornia.com. It is great to have you with us here, Randy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Jenna, my dear sister in Christ, for Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. We are so glad you're out there in California, Randy, keeping tabs on all this. Tell us a little bit about AB 569 and how serious this really is.
This is stealing religious freedom. It's more territory taken away from Christians, and it is murdering children in the womb. And it says that an employer or any person acting on behalf of an employer shall not take any adverse action against an employee or their dependent or family member, and here's the key part, for their reproductive health decisions, end quote, including but not limited to the timing, therefore, or the use of any drug device or medical service. Now, there's no, as you said, there's no religious exemption. So this would go after religious schools, religious hospitals, religious organizations, even like ours. It would turn Christian schools, for example, into pro-abortion schools. Mm-hmm. And the reproductive health decisions basically means anything, an abortion drug, an abortion, anything. It means even sex outside of marriage. And let me just give an example. Because this would turn church schools into pro-abortion schools, no longer would it be bad or wrong or could be said so that a teacher, let's say a woman, has an abortion. Oh, Miss Smith had an abortion. See, that's good. Children, this is a Christian school where teachers are having unmarried sex and getting abortions. See how Christian we are? These are your leaders and role models. It is a bad role model for children. That's my words for saying this. So it is terrible.
Well, it is terrible. So basically, Christian schools, Christian organizations would not be able to uphold their Christianity, basically, on things like abortion or premarital sex or even contraception?
Right. This would have to be in the handbook. The bill, AB 569, says that the handbook has to have all of these quote-unquote rights, these rights for reproductive health decisions. Okay, so this is really what it's done. Take out religious rights, take out the federal Constitution, First Amendment, take even out the religious freedom in the California Constitution, replace religious freedom with murder, abortion of preborn babies in the womb. So, again, the Democrats are saying, yeah, we believe in religious freedom, but we're going to take away your religious freedom. They're liars, and they're traitors to the Constitution. To reduce religious freedom to what you think in your head, but you can't speak and you can't do, well, that is redefining Christianity to being impotent in America.
Right. That's right. Don't we also have a right of association if a church or a Christian organization says we only want to hire people whose lives and whose doctrine is consistent with ours? Why in the world does the state of California have the ability to say, no, you have to associate with people you don't want to associate with, even if you have Christian goals for your school or your organization? It's just defying everything that we believe as Americans.
Right. The right of association, which was derived from the First Amendment, and even has been used to say, hey, look, in states with right-to-work laws, you don't have to join a union if you don't want to, which is good. You shouldn't have to be forced to join anything you don't want to.
Right.
It would not, as far as I know, apply to churches because churches are not seen as employers. But if you're a religious nonprofit, if you're a religious hospital, and certainly if you're a religious school, you got a big bullseye painted on you. In fact, the author, who's a Democrat from San Diego, married to a former Republican state legislator who was one of the most liberal ones, even puts in her own bill that there was a Christian school that fired somebody over abortion. Now, look, if that bugs you, if you're listening, if you're the owner and you want to have moral values in your business, moral values certainly in your Christian school, let's make it even easier. You put right on the school, this is a Christian school. We do things according to the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And if somebody says, hey, I'm on your staff, I want to be told that it's okay for me to have sex outside of marriage, it's okay for me to abort the baby I had, and I want you to pay for this too. I want you to tell the kids that this is good, fine, and okay, and this is love. I'll tell you, it's not love to murder, it's not love to go against God's word, and it's not love to tell children a lie.
No, of course not. The weird thing to me also, Randy, is the fact that I don't see, from what I've read about this particular bill, I don't see the need for this. Isn't it the case that you already have laws on the books that will adequately cover situations that are concerning some of these Democrats? I mean, what is the need for this particular measure?
Well, there isn't any need. Again, it's taking over Christianity. It's taking over the church. And when the Democrats saw that a church was pro-life, a church school was pro-life, and basically had employee policies that were also pro-life, they didn't like that. And so they wanted to do a law to prohibit those religious values. And it's so bad, even in the bill, they try to say, oh, no, we're for religious freedom. And they quote a U.S. Supreme Court case, and they basically say, well, okay, we're exempting a pastor, and so forth. So this would be, if this bill becomes law, it will definitely harm those who I've listed. It could impact churches except pastors. It might affect secretarial positions, janitorial positions, other support staff. It might. That will have to be fought out in the courts, but it is definitely a threat, and it is definitely stealing away religious freedom of Californians. You can thank the Democrat politicians.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just the latest assault, though. It just seems like your legislature does anything it wants to go after religious freedom. We've seen this time and time again. There was that bill against Christian universities and schools and funding that kind of was pushed back a little bit. But what about the trend, Randy, that you're seeing in California where you're seeing bill after bill after bill that is just outrageous?
It's the same as Hollywood, the dominant national media, the Sacramento-based California state legislature. They're singing according to the same devilish tune. They used to pretend to be fair. Look at the national media. They used to say, oh, no, we're non-biased. We're objective. Well, they're not even claiming that anymore. They leave out the other side, the moral side, the Christian side, the conservative side. They leave that out of their stories.
Yes.
And here at the state capitol, they're not even saying they're for religious freedom anymore. They're just sort of giving a little bit of talk about it, but hardly anything. In fact, you have even a new homosexual activist state senator named Weiner, that's his last name, from San Francisco. And he was asked about religious freedom for a bill he has. It's another bad bill that's on the governor's desk. And he says, nobody's talked to me about that. No, I'm not going to give any exemption. No exemption for religious freedom. So the tide has turned. The tyrants have taken over. And again, you can thank the Democrats. And this is happening in state after state. and people need to learn. We need to not bury our head in the sand, but we need to fight for what's right and tell people how to vote right.
I so agree with you, Randy. Well, Randy Thomason, check out SaveCalifornia.com for more information. Randy, God bless. Thanks a lot for being here, and we'll be right back.
Here is today's Capitol Hill Brief with Concerned Women for America President Penny Nance.
I told you this week that Concerned Women for America submitted just last week an important legal brief before the U.S. Supreme Court in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. This is the case of the Christian baker being forced to design a custom-made wedding cake for a same-sex wedding in violation of his deeply held religious beliefs. But we at Concerned Women for America know the battle is more than a legal one. It is a spiritual one. That is why we have mobilized our more than 400 prayer action chapters around the country to lift the justices, our attorney writing the brief, and the attorneys that will give the oral arguments up in prayer.
It's vital that President Trump knows he has our support as he fights for conservative Christian values. Please sign the open letter at CapitolHillBrief.org and express your support of his administration's agenda of protecting religious freedom. Please visit CapitolHillBrief.org now.
You may know of Rosh Hashanah as a Jewish holiday, but did you know it could impact your life today? I'm Jeannie Nigro with Unshaken. Rosh Hashanah is called the Feast of Trumpets, and in the Bible, trumpets were often used to warn of battle. With the primary theme of Rosh Hashanah being repentance, I believe God is reminding you in this season that repentance is your key weapon in fighting the unseen spiritual battle. When you ask God to show you the sin in your life, confess and repent of it, you will have the victory in the spiritual battle that the enemy wages against you 24/7. This Rosh Hashanah, wake up to the trumpet call of repentance and stop giving enemy ground in your life. For more on how to remain unshaken in a world that's all shook up, or to download a free chapter of my book, Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times, go to jeannienigro.com/Janet. jeannienigro.com, that's JeannieNigro.com/Janet.
We are back on Janet Meffer today. This is exciting. The federal government recently throwing its support behind Jack Phillips, that Christian baker whom the Colorado Civil Rights Commission penalized in 2014 for refusing to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. And this amicus brief from the Department of Justice, which was just filed a couple weeks ago with the Supreme Court, argues that Jack Phillips cannot be compelled by Colorado to create expression for and participate in a ceremony that would violate his First Amendment rights. This is exciting. There's also another exciting story that's just occurred, and it has to do with the tennis family of Charlotte, Michigan, the farming family that was penalized by East Lansing, Michigan, and told they couldn't go to the farmer's market because they believe in natural marriage. And now they've got this reprieve. They've now been allowed to go back to the farmer's market. It's just an incredible turn of events. But Concerned Women for America is urging all of us to continue to let the Trump administration know to stay the course on these issues that affect our freedom. And that includes making the right decision in the upcoming Supreme Court case with Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop v. Colorado Civil Rights Commission. You can sign an open letter at CapitolHillBrief.org. But we're going to get some thoughts on this now from Penny Nance, CEO and President of Concerned Women for America. So good to welcome you back, Penny. How are you?
Well, it's great to be on again, Janet. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I was encouraged to see both of these things. Did you anticipate, you probably did, you know all these people, but the Department of Justice actually signing on to back Jack Phillips?
Sister, listen, why do you think we work so hard to get Attorney General Jeff Sessions confirmed? I mean, I knew exactly where the AG would come down on this, but really, Sessions works for the president. And had the president not agreed, it would have never happened. So again, this is also why elections matter.
Yes.
This is a direct result of election. Do you really think a Hillary Clinton Justice Department would have taken the same position? Of course not.
No.
So we are, you know, we are thrilled, and it is really a great help to have the government come down on the right side of this case. as opposed to using the full force of government to thwart justice for religious freedom.
That's right. Well, now my question is, when you have the Department of Justice weighing in this way, what sort of weight does that hold for the Supreme Court? Is it a bigger deal when you have the federal government saying we side with this particular side, this particular defendant and or plaintiff in this case, I guess, but that makes a difference, does it, for the judges, do you think?
Well, you don't always win. The federal government doesn't always win in cases.
Right.
But they have a lot of resources to bring in. They certainly bring to bear a sense of an inevitability based on what kind of legislation they think is going to come from the federal government, the way the administration views it. It doesn't make it a done deal, and I don't mean to say that, but it definitely helps.
Yeah.
And it's always better.
Yeah.
It's always better to have the U.S. Solicitor General on your side versus on the other side.
For sure. This is sort of an interesting situation because they are making this argument in the case of Jack Phillips that the message that you proclaim should not be something that you're forced to proclaim against your religious convictions. What do you make of the argument that they're going to put forth in this case, that this is really about forcing somebody to communicate a message with which he disagrees?
Well, they're opening it up to make it a broader First Amendment case. I mean, certainly it's about religious freedom, but it's also about your First Amendment right to speak or not to speak.
Yeah.
And it's, they're correct, because in this case, I mean, there's a beautiful video that your listeners may want to try to take a look at, in which Masterpiece Cakes Shop, the owner is creating on top of his cake with a paintbrush. He's an artist. He literally is an artist. And he's talking about the ability, you know, being forced to use his art in a way that assaults his conscience. And he has a fantastic story to tell, because they are faithful Christians. He also, not only did he say, hey, I'm happy to sell you cupcakes for whatever, but I'm not going to participate in a same-sex marriage. But by the way, I also won't do bachelor parties, and I don't even do Halloween.
Yeah.
And so no one thinks that this man just made up his theology on the fly. Like, this is really what he believes, and he has a long record of it. By the way, they also take in homeless people. He uses his bakery as a place for AA to meet. I mean, they're just faithful Christian people. And I think it's a great test case on the overall question of not only religious freedom, but what you said, the overall First Amendment rights. And there's a really good chance that will come out well on this case.
Yeah, I really hope and pray that's the case.
It's essential, really.
Oh, it's absolutely essential, because if it goes the wrong way, what are the implications for all of us?
Well, the implications for every Christian business in America and others, really, whatever speech is in the minority can be thwarted and squelched, and even perhaps made to say something different than what they believe in. Whether, the Supreme Court already ruled in the Hobby Lobby case that corporations should be treated as individuals when you come to a right of conscience and the owners have certain specific viewpoints.
Yes.
And so we're kind of laying the track here, but this is really important protection for Christians. There's all sorts of implications, certainly.
Absolutely. Now, this other story that I mentioned, I wanted to get your take on this as well. This family, this farm family in Michigan, have this family-run orchard. They've now received this temporary reprieve when they were banned by the city of East Lansing from the city's farmers market because the dad in this case had said on Facebook that they would not perform or allow same-sex marriages to take place on their family farm. East Lansing, from what I understand from the attorney's penny, is 22 miles away from where this family lives. This is completely out of control, and it's good that they're getting this decision.
Well, it is. And, again, it's blatant discrimination. But what's so odd about this is that liberals used to be the people who were on the side of minority rights and on the right of the First Amendment. The ACLU is supposed to be there to protect the First Amendment rights of all Americans. And it's really essential, if you're going to do that, that you protect minority views.
Yeah.
And we can disagree whether Christian belief is at this point, you know, we're in post-Christian America, and whether it's minority beliefs, I don't know, the last election actually gave me hope that it may not be the case. But even if it is, that's the very people you have to protect.
Yes.
Because if the First Amendment rights do not protect the minority views, then you don't really have a First Amendment.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You don't need a First Amendment for speech everybody loves.
Right.
Or religious beliefs that everybody loves. Yeah, it's so troubling, though. I don't know how it's going to go. Apparently, their lawsuit is now moving forward. They can go to the farmer's market. But what was so upsetting to me, Penny, about this, and I'm sure that you felt the same way, was it just looked like it was targeting somebody. It wasn't that they were doing something horrible. All he did was say on Facebook, no, we wouldn't allow same-sex weddings. And they craft this anti-discrimination ordinance. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're violating it. It's like you said, it was really an intentional targeting. That, to me, is very scary when you have a government, even on the local level, that is targeting Christians.
Well, and worse than that, I mean, this is really bad, no doubt. But you do realize that under the Obama administration that there were many Christians who were disallowed, prohibited from actually doing contract work with the federal government,
right,
or being vendors for the federal government because of their position on same-sex marriage or, you know, any other, you know, traditional Christian views on homosexuality. And so, this is not new. This has been going on. It just has gotten better recently under the Trump administration. And so whether or not, you know, the Salvation Army or Catholic Charities is able to take federal grants because of their view of that, you know, little kids need a mom and a dad for their adoption services, have been disrupted because of this leftist theology,
yeah,
and ideology that is now squelching a minority view. And so there's a lot of work to do. There's work to be done still even within the administration on changing the rules that they have for who they do contracting with. Christians have and are being discriminated against.
Yeah, they are.
This is legitimate.
Absolutely. This is one thing that really people need to understand about Concerned Women for America, Penny, and the work that you do, not just on Capitol Hill, but across the country. You are heavily involved in meeting with all these players, all of these people who we would never hope to meet out here. But you are really working with these people, talking to these people every day.
Yeah.
What kind of strategy are you taking to really encourage the Trump administration to protect our freedoms right now?
Well, there's things I can't talk about on the radio. We're doing a lot, and we're having a lot of like one-on-one conversations, and there's things that are happening right now that I can't discuss on the radio.
Sure.
But I can tell you that, you know, coming to our website, signing petitions, being a part of what we're doing strengthens our hand.
Okay.
And I am so grateful that we are in a situation where I'm not working with a Clinton administration, but I'm working with the Trump administration, who want to be fair to everyone. And so it is a completely, it's a game changer. The other thing we're doing is, there's so many facets of this, is we just had a major event where we brought in all of our state directors, there's about 150 all together, and did lobbying on the lower court judges. Of course, we don't have an opening of the Supreme Court, but there's 140 lower court judges that have to be confirmed that are going to be Trump appointees that will be well in line with the things that we believe.
Right.
That are because they're constitutionalists, not because they've picked and chosen issues, because they actually believe in the Constitution and believe the text of the Constitution. So we got to get those done, because only about 1% or less make it to the Supreme Court. Most of them are settled in the lower courts. So we've got to, that's a really important thing that has to be dealt with, and we've got to, you know, really press the Senate to get going and to get these judges confirmed that are being appointed by the Trump administration.
Well, we are so excited about everything you're doing. Check out CapitolHillBrief.org. Sign the open letter. Penny Nance, always a joy. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. We'll be right back on Janet Mefford Today. The This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org. To Janet Mefford Today. Well, there's no question that the family has been faltering in recent years. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the percentage of children living in families with two parents decreased from 88% back in 1960 to only 69% today. More than 8 million couples are cohabiting without benefit of marriage. Divorce occurs once almost every 40 seconds. And of course, marriage itself has been undermined as progressives on the Supreme Court decreed that it could be redefined. Yet we still have Genesis 2. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." And of course, as Ephesians 5 reminds us, marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. It's why we need healthy, godly marriages to create healthy, godly homes. And with that end in mind, TV and film star Kirk Cameron and his wife Chelsea are going to be opening themselves up to encourage others in their marriages through a live Q&A next week. They're also offering an online video course, which is called The Heart of Family, 6 weeks to a Happier Home and a Healthier Marriage. And Kirk joins us now. Wonderful to have you here, Kirk. How are you?
Oh, Janet, you're one of my favorite people to listen to, first of all, let alone talk to. I'm honored to be on your program again.
Well, it's always great to have you here, and thank you so much. Likewise, I just enjoy you so much, and it's great to talk to you. What are some of your concerns? Because this is a big step to open up your own family to the public. You've been in the public eye for so many years. What does it feel like to get this personal, and you and your wife, Chelsea, coming out and sharing your own lives with people in such a personal way?
When I was on Growing Pains, my life was a fishbowl, and everyone could see every new pimple, every new anything going on in my private world. And I didn't want that for my own kids and my own family as a married man, as a husband and father. But now that we've been married for 26 years, which is like 260 in Hollywood years, right?
Right.
And we have six teenagers who are now 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, and 14. We decided this would be a great time to throw open the doors to our family, to our faith, our marriage, and share with people the things that have been working, the things that have helped us in our struggle through marriage and family, and brought us to a place of hope and a bright future with a great sense of optimism about the future. And it's called The Heart of Family. It's an online marriage e-course that almost 10,000 people have signed up for now.
Great.
And we're hearing great responses from them. I'm so thankful and so happy, you know, that the things that have helped us are helping other people. And we're truly excited about it.
Well, it is really exciting. And you mentioned Hollywood. Of course, a lot of people will ask, in Hollywood, to be married 10 years is a huge accomplishment. You and Chelsea are both well-known. You've been successful. You've been married, as you mentioned, 26 years with the added joy of having six children of your own. I'm sure you get asked a lot, how could you possibly have any problems? You seem to have it all together, Kirk, in your marriage.
Well, they forget that there's one giant challenge in my marriage, and that's me and my selfish heart.
Hmm.
You know, we know as Christians that the greatest threat that we have to anything good, whether it's our faith, our family, relationships, is not something external to us. It's something internal.
Yes.
It's what's going on inside of me. It's called pride and selfishness. So I understand that I married an absolute angel. My wife is just amazing. I tell my kids, don't worry about divorce, honey, kids. If mom ever leaves me, I'm going with her. and I've learned, and Chelsea and I have learned together, that there are some key principles that have made marriages thrive for the longest time. One is a strong faith in God. If I don't understand the cross, if I don't understand the message of grace, if I don't understand the purpose of why we get married, and you just read about it there from Genesis 2, I'm the whole thing is going to likely fall apart. But if I understand those things and I understand how to forgive, not just that I'm supposed to, but how in the world do you do it when you're hurt and it's difficult? how do you find joy in rough circumstances? How do you raise and train and discipline your children properly so they don't end up hating the religion that you're trying to give to them? These are the things that have helped us, and we're so excited to be sharing those with other people.
Well, it's so exciting. Now, when you do this live Q&A, how is it going to work? You had mentioned your online course, The Heart of Family, but doing the live Q&A next week, what can people expect from that?
So what you do is you sign up for the course, and it's only a live Q&A with me and Chelsea, where we answer your questions, will only be available to those who are actually part of the classroom. So there are six lessons. You sign up for the course, and at the end of the sixth lesson, which will be next week, and if you missed the first five, you can sign up and catch up and you know go through that at your own pace. And then next week, we'll have a live Q&A where Chelsea and I believe it's going to, don't quote me on this, I should know this, but it's either going to be on Facebook Live or it's going to be a live stream through the course website. You're going to be able to send in your questions on Facebook and Twitter, and we're going to be answering them there online live for you.
That is great. And it's going to be 7 o'clock Central Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, right? Wednesday, September 27th.
That sounds right. Yep. 7
yes.
p.m. Central Time, Wednesday.
Very good. Do you think, Kirk, that there's anything uniquely hard about having a Hollywood marriage as opposed to a non-known couple out in flyover country who doesn't have to deal with fame and all of the trappings of fame?
I think that there's unique challenges with it, Janet. But, it starts with finding out that you're, the person that you married, it's not their real name. It's their Hollywood stage name. That seems to happen all the time out here. And then you find out all kinds of other things. But, I think that what I said earlier is true no matter where you live. I think perhaps the hardest place to have a Christian marriage may be in if you live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, where everyone says they're a Christian. But the question is, are you living that out in the culture that God's planted you in? And do you understand that living in Hollywood or Dallas, Texas, or on a deserted island never protects you from the greatest challenge that you will have in marriage, and that is selfishness, bitterness, pride, unforgiveness. It's the things of the heart. And Jesus said that. The things that we say are just an overflow of what comes out of the heart. So adultery and greed and pride and malice, these are things that are generated from within us, and that's why a strong and healthy love for God and the fear of God, which produces wisdom, are so important. And these are the things that we want to pass on to our kids.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ultimate fruit of our labors.
Well, we live in interesting times, as you well know, and we have a redefined version of marriage that isn't marriage at all. And we are living in a very, very weird time period in history. I think a lot of us feel it. All Christians really feel it, if I can base that on the people I've talked to. When you look at marriage as not only your own relationship with your spouse, but also as a witness to the culture, what do you see marriage in terms of being a witness? How does it look? What should Christian marriage look like? And how can it be different as a witness to the world at a time like ours?
Well, Janet, that's such a great question. It demands a lot of thought to give a good answer. And what I'm going to suggest is that when we look at our culture around us, we seem to be experimenting with so many things, almost as though this is the first time we've ever tried this. Like, hey, let's try something new. let's redefine some of the most basic components of society.
Yeah.
And let's see what that happens. I mean, after all, isn't that the epitome of being free, that we're not locked into any traditional definitions or biblical values? But the truth is we've tried all this before. None of this is progressive. It's actually regressive. It's just going back to our pagan ways.
Yep.
Right? And it's when the gospel enters into pagan societies that civilization actually begins to happen. People begin to be conformed back into the image and the wonderful ways of the God who made them. And then blessing begins to flow and protection surrounds us. And all of a sudden we say, wow, we have something special like family, like church, like the United States of America, where we have certain inalienable rights granted to us by our Creator, among them life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. But that's not license to turn around and sabotage the very things that gave us those freedoms.
Yeah.
So when I see institutions and societies failing around us, I don't get depressed. I get encouraged, because what that tells me is that God's word is true.
Hang on just a moment. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Kirk Cameron, the heart of family, here on Janet Meffer Today. Stay with us.
Many people in developing nations have no access to desperately needed medical care. That's why Mercy Ships brings volunteers aboard our hospital ship, the Africa Mercy, to give the world's forgotten poor the free medical care they need. We have an immediate need for registered nurses, especially with a pediatric specialty. As a volunteer nurse, you won't just give life-altering health care. You'll receive so much in return.
It's an amazingly rewarding experience.
You'll give hope and make a difference in the lives of those who have virtually no access to medical aid.
It's such a fantastic thing to do. Everybody who I've met on this ship either wants to come back and do it again, or they're already here for the second, third, or tenth time.
So what are you waiting for? Show mercy to someone today.
I would say go for it.
Get more information and learn how to apply by visiting mercyships.org/nurses. That's mercyships.org/nurses.
Just a minute. From Basic Gospel, here's Bob Christopher.
In his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul commended these saints for their faith, love, and hope. Concerning their faith, they had turned to God from idols. Concerning their labor of love, they were serving the living and true God. Concerning hope, they were waiting for Jesus from heaven, whom God had raised from the dead. Now these Thessalonians waited because they knew something about Jesus, something that many believers today overlook. They knew Jesus as the one who would deliver them from the wrath to come. That's why they looked forward to his return. That's why hope was the anchor for their souls. Well, here's the good news. Jesus is the one who delivers you from the wrath to come. This is your hope in Christ as well. I'm Bob Christopher, and that's just a minute. For more information to help you grow in God's love and grace, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net.
We are back on Janet Meffer Today. Great to have you with us, and great to have with us Kirk Cameron. He and his wife Chelsea are embarking on something new, and I think it's really exciting. They're going to be having a live Q&A next week, and they're also offering an online video course in tandem with that called The Heart of Family, 6 weeks to a Happier Home and a Healthier Marriage. And Kirk is joining us. Kirk, this is so interesting. When you look at the statistics about marriage that I shared a little bit at the beginning of the show here and talked about the divorce statistics and kids living without dads and these sorts of things, there are a lot of people who feel hopeless and who say, even in the church, when I go to church, I know a lot of people who are divorced and not for biblical reasons. What about the issue of divorce in the church? This isn't something necessarily that pastors are dying to address from the pulpit because they don't want to step on people's toes. But what about the rampant divorce statistics in the church? What is your sense of why that's occurring and how we can really strengthen and encourage Christian marriages and encourage more people stay together? Stay together. That's why you got married.
What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
Yeah. And you know, I know that I have family members that have experienced the pain of a divorce and then the hope of a remarriage and even a second and a third divorce. And, you know, one of the things that I've found interesting is that, you know, none of us go to the altar and say, I do, thinking that this whole thing is going to blow up in our face. Right. That's never the intent. I could never imagine that people are going there for that reason. But if we don't understand the purpose of marriage and we go into it thinking this is just a you make me happy contract, if it's just, hey, wow, you're pretty, you think that I'm handsome, you know, we're feeling this chemistry, let's just keep the party going. Keep looking like you're looking and doing what you're doing and we won't have any trouble. Then kids come into the picture and all of a sudden we start to realize who we are. And marriage is such a great school to teach us about who we really are. And it brings some of the nasties to the surface, like selfishness and bitterness and unforgiveness and pride. And if we learn that marriage might be a school to teach us how to live and love more like Jesus, i.e., lay your life down for those who want to crucify you. Pray for and love your enemies. And we learn how to entrust ourselves to God when we're falsely accused, knowing that he's faithful and he'll produce good results. If we look at marriage that way, I think we might not throw in the towel quite so quickly. And another thing I've been encouraged about is that I've found that some of the divorce statistics, while they're true, sometimes the perspective is a little off. When people talk about divorce statistics and total numbers of divorces, what I've read is that people who have been married for the first time are much more likely to stay together than those who are now in second and third marriages. Those marriages continue to fail and break down because the lessons that ruined the first marriage never were really learned.
Right.
So what I think is that if we lay a good foundation for marriage before we get married, we have a much better chance of having a strong first marriage and staying married. And that's what we're trying to achieve through The Heart of Family, the online marriage course that my wife and I are offering.
Yeah, no, all very good. And I know there are people who are listening who might be dating or they're engaged and they're embarking on Christian marriage in the future. And they're saying, I want to get a good foundation.
Yeah.
Kirk, what can you teach me, Kirk, about when you got married and your foundation that you laid that has helped you have a successful marriage? When you look back, when you first got married, I know we can all do this, look back and say, I did this wrong or I should have done this better. But what advice would you give to a newly engaged Christian couple about how to build a firm foundation for your Christian home?
Wow. Well, we give six whole lessons about that very subject in The Heart of Family. But if I had to sum everything up, I'm thinking right now about a few principles. Number one, your greatest challenge is not going to be how much money you do or don't have. It's not going to be how well or how poorly your spouse communicates. Those things are challenging, but your greatest struggle will be the unending desire to think of yourself before your spouse. Mm. The what have you done for me and I deserve to be happy disease.
Yep.
That's going to be your biggest challenge. And so therefore that leads to the second thing, which is I need to understand that the greatest thing I can do to have a happy marriage and to love my spouse, which will make my marriage pretty sweet, is to get my part right before God.
Okay.
If I can learn to live in such a way that looks like Jesus, if my wife wakes up one day and says, who are you and what have you done with my husband? I feel like I'm married to the Lord Jesus. You're just so selfless. You're just so thinking of others. You're just so not here to be served, but to serve. And you just make me feel like you're so thankful that we're together. If I can get that right, oh man, I'm 10 miles ahead of the game.
That's great. That's great. We would all love to get to that point. That's wonderful. Yeah. And you know, when you mention your six kids, this is such a challenge having that many children and a joy at the same time. But you had said something earlier, Kirk, I wanted to pick back up on this. You had said you really want to be able to raise your children in a way that they don't turn on the faith when they get older. And you look at some of these statistics. I think the Barna statistics that came out not too long ago indicated that only 4% of millennials have a biblical worldview. That is believing the right things and also living as if you really do believe the right things in Orthodox Christian theology. What about this challenge that you have as a married couple, having that relationship with your spouse, but also modeling the Christian faith for your children with the long-term goal of making sure to the best of your ability, by the grace of God, obviously, because he has to work in their lives individually, seeing them be faithful Christians when they grow up? How do you do that?
Well, boy, we could sit down over lunch and have a long talk about this because that's what we want as parents. We want our children to know and love God more than anything as Christians. And I don't have I haven't found a magic recipe or a magic wand that produces that. My goodness, look at Adam and Eve. I mean, here are two people that God himself created. He was their father. They can't blame it on any earthly parents, and yet they're in a perfect Garden of Eden. Adam goes AWOL together with his wife, and they plunge the whole human race down a path of rebellion and destruction.
Yeah,
and God was doing a perfect job of caring for them and loving them. So I know that deep within the heart of my children and yours lies enough potential for sin to scare an angel to death, and certainly enough to concern you and me. But I also know that God is faithful, and He has told us what to do. I like to sum it up by saying, be the kind of person you want your child to become. You can preach and teach and train, and we should, but our lives speak so loudly that sometimes they're not listening to our words.
Right.
And so if I want my boys to grow up to love God and cherish their wife, I simply need to be a man of faith who serves my wife, Chelsea, as much as I can by God's grace every day. And that'll go a long way to helping my daughters choose a good man and know how a good man treats his wife. So be who you want your children to become. I think that's the first step in raising your children in the faith.
I think that's wonderful. And I love that you're not giving some kind of simplistic, do these three steps and God is guaranteed to produce out of the shoots
yeah.
three perfect disciples who will never walk away from the Lord and never have any temptations or struggles and will not flail
no.
in their sanctification for 1 minute. I mean, that's not realistic. But
no.
this is why it's so important, I think, what you're doing, you and Chelsea Kirk, making sure that Christians are really equipped to understand the importance of a godly marriage and having some ideas of your own struggles so they can relate. And I think it's wonderful. You're going to have, as I want to mention this before for people who are just tuning in, you have this Heart of the Family course that is available, and give the website if you would.
Just go to theheartoffamily.com, theheartoffamily.com, or just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Kirk Cameron, and you can find all sorts of links to sign up for the course.
Terrific. Again, it's called The Heart of Family, 6 weeks to a Happier Home and a Healthier Marriage. And as we mentioned before, you and your wife, Chelsea, will be doing this live Q&A at 7 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. The date is September 27th. So people can go to that website you mentioned before, Kirk, theheartoffamily.com, and get all the information that they need in order to get the course and also to be able to watch you guys live, talk about your marriage, answer some questions. I know it's going to be a wonderful time. And it's always a great time with you, Kirk Cameron. Always great to talk to you, and I'm so glad you were able to be with us today.
Well, thank you, and it's always a little bit of fun for me. I hope you'll indulge me to embarrass some of my friends and people that I appreciate. Those of you who are listening to us right now, can you imagine what a treat it is for me to talk to Janet Mefford and to be on this show? You're learning so much from her, as I am, and so I just want to encourage all of you to tell your friends about the Janet Mefford Show and make sure that they listen and join the team, because we're better for knowing her.
Oh, my goodness. Checks in the mail, Kirk. Thanks a lot. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
God bless you, too.
All right. Take care. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.